This episode is brought to you by Tricked Out Tricycle. Fun, engaging songs for kids and adults that also get kids learning about a variety of interesting facts. And what's super cool is we get to sit down to chat with songwriter Mr. Andrew Jed of Tricked Out Tricycle to learn about his newly released album, Interabang, and even get to listen to a few tunes from the album, which can be found on the website www.trickedouttricycle.com and also streaming platforms like Spotify and Apple Music. So, let's get on with the show.
Let the music begin in 3, 2, 1.
Learning music, having fun.
That's what we're gonna do.
Mr. Henry.
Mr. Fife.
Exploring along with you.
Learning music, having fun.
That's what we're gonna do. Mr. Henry.
Mr. Fife.
Love hanging out with you.
The Music Podcast for Kids.
Hello, and welcome to The Music Podcast for Kids. We're your hosts, Mr. Henry.
And Mr. Fife.
Music educators extraordinaire. The Music Podcast for Kids is a fun and educational podcast where we learn and explore the best subject ever.
Music!
And now the music joke of the day.
We love jokes. So if you have a joke, please visit our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com, to submit your joke.
And guess what? It doesn't even have to be a music joke. It can be any joke.
We will read and enjoy your joke on the podcast and also let everyone know who it came from and where you are in this great, big, wonderful music world.
Our joke of the day is... This joke comes from a listener of the show, Cormac. What is a chicken's favorite food?
Huh?
Broccoli. Broccoli.
Make sure to send in your jokes by visiting our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com. A link to the website can be found in the show notes.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you are enjoying the show so far.
Please subscribe to the podcast to receive the latest episodes and leave a review through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, get updates on what we are up to through Facebook and Instagram by finding us at Music Podcast for Kids. Links will be found in the show notes.
On to the show!
Just chat. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting.
Andrew Jed is a songwriter and producer of Tricked Out Tricycle, a collection of songs for kids to explore a variety of topics that use their imagination in a fun and engaging way. Andrew has written music for film and TV while continuing to be a studio and live performer. Today, we get to sit down to chat more about Andrew's journey with music and even get to learn more about his awesome new album called Interabang for Kids that adults will enjoy too. So, let's get on with the interview.
We have a very special guest with us today on the Music Podcast for Kids, Andrew Jed from Tricked Out Tricycle. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, heck yeah, my pleasure. Super, super rad to be on your show.
Awesome. So, since we are a music podcast for kids, we always like to ask our special guests how they got started with music. So, can you tell us how old you were when you started?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't tell you how old I was when I started because that might reveal how old I am now. I was young, and there were two significant moments. I was thinking about this. Two significant moments. One was when, you know, I was a kid and I was taking piano lessons, you know, the classic Suzuki method or Kawasaki method, some kind of method.
Sure.
And when it came time to the big rehearsal or the big performance, they were like, "Awesome, Andrew, you're doing great in piano. Here's a triangle, play that." And so clearly my piano skills were not quite up to par. So they gave me a triangle and I think I did okay. And then the other, I think, my parents can probably attest to this. The other musical motivator for me as a child was in the family, we had this grand piano in the living room with ivory keys. And, you know, I decided one day, you know, I think pianos, maybe I have a thing against pianos, I don't know. I think pianos with ivory keys should naturally be played with drumsticks.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Immediately, I created a whole new tone. And I guess that launched me down the road of producing records and kind of writing pretty fun, random songs.
Yeah, that's cool. So, like in school when you were younger, did you have like, you had like a general music class? Did you ever do band or anything like that, like in the elementary years?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Everybody learns how to play the recorder, right?
Yes,
so
right.
We all start with that germ sharing machine. And, and I will brag on my daughter. She's actually really amazing on the recorder, and I never
That's
knew
awesome.
That it was possible to do that. But my journey through music was, it was kind of like an aside. I always thought that I was going to be an actor, you know, so I was always playing piano and had a vested love of music. And,
right.
you know, once I started kind of realizing kind of how awesome music was in life in general, usually, and that was about the time grunge happened. That's when I sort of picked up the guitar, and it just became a kind of a steady presence in my life.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I didn't really. I'm too creative, I think. So I would like if I was in a music class, I would likely, you know, start to do what the teacher would tell me, and then I'd be like, no, but I'm going to try to find this musical hook. I'm going to try to find this other way of doing it differently.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just kind of who I am as an artist.
Yeah, that's cool. So then as you're playing the guitar, was that something that you did more towards like middle, high school? Like when did that? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Middle school, high school.
Yeah.
And then it really, I mean, it just kind of stuck with me. Again, no grand plans of being a songwriter, a musician, or, you know, record producer until university years happened. And then it kind of really grew into something from there.
Yeah, that's cool. So is that something in college that was something that you pursued, or just started to play in bands, or how did that work?
Well, like I said, Bill, I had thought I was going to be an actor, you know, a stage actor or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, I was practicing my jazz hands daily, and and so I got into university, and I thought, okay. I wasn't sure, so I didn't want to go to like Juilliard or something like that and like really commit to that. I wanted to go to a really cool school where I could go mountain biking and snowboarding. so I went to Colorado for that.
Oh, neat.
It was great. And then I kind of launched into some theater stuff, simultaneously playing guitar. And, you know, it was in the process of doing the theater stuff that I realized I don't live for theater. I like it. I dig it, but it's not something I wake up in the morning and something I really care if I do or not. Simultaneously, I was starting to play music with some friends, you know, in the dorms. We were kind of sharing like chords with each other. Somebody pulled out a banjo one time on a car ride, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this thing. And just coming up with lines, making up lyrics, and slowly started to realize that music was the thing that I really just, I had to spend every possible minute of every possible day doing something with music, doing something creative and fresh. And, you know, the other part of it is to, even though I write all kinds of songs, and on this kids music stuff that I do, I get to kind of put on different personas. But in general, for me, the difference in being a musician is I get to be myself.
Right.
When you're an actor, you're portraying a character, mm-hmm. you're becoming something that somebody else has written or created, and you're sort of filling into that and pretending to be that. And that's great. But for me, when I just love with music that I get to be me, and it's honest, and it's fun, and it's quirky, and it's cool, and it's exhilarating. So that exploded, and I ended up in bands and touring and traveling and, you know, LA and sessions and producing and Nashville and this and that. And then finally it is culminating with an interview for your guys' podcast. This is great.
So with the band-aids, the touring and all of that, can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, what kind of music was it, and where did it take you in your travels with the band?
Yeah, Bruce, for sure. So this was, again, you know, all right. So we're talking kind of the late 90s into the early 2000s. And so we were musically, you know, again, I was in Colorado. So music styles was popular. It's different all over the place. But I will say it was a time when we were kind of coming out of the Dave Matthews-y era of music and jam kind of bandy. So I ended up in a band that was, I wouldn't call this a jam band by any stretch of the imagination. And for those of you who don't know what a jam band is, don't worry about it. it was more of a band with some of those elements. Like, I played electric guitar, an acoustic, occasionally a mandolin. We had a fantastic female vocalist by the name of Katie Herzig, who's a wonderful artist, continuing to write great stuff in Nashville. But it was very songwriter based. And so that really caught on. It was leading into an era where, like, bands like Nickel Creek were really, really popular in sort of that, I guess, the scene that we were listening to. So being kind of songwriter based with some instrumentation like mandolins, but yet a full band kind of coming out of that Dave Matthews era, then that was kind of, it was really working. It was, people were enjoying the songs, enjoying the music. Oh, Burlap to Cashmere was another song. Mm-hmm. It's almost post Rusted Root era, you know, songs with high energy and good feel, but, you know, being in that band taught me a lot about songwriting. So then, you know, it grew. It was a different time in music where, you know, instead of pumping out a song in your little studio and then, you know, putting it on streaming platforms, you know, which is awesome. I'm a big advocate of that, you know, and hoping that you get a ton of listeners. You know, you had to jump in a really smelly van that would most likely break down about 500 miles outside of wherever you left, and then you'd have to buy another one. And then you'd go to, like, the middle of nowhere and play a venue for 8 people. And then the next time you went back, you played for 16. And then the next time you went back, you played for 100. And the next time you back, and it's awesome. It was incredible. That is the reality, and it's cool and horrifying and wonderful all at the same time.
Yeah.
And eventually that grows and snowballs, and then you start doing records with larger and larger producers. You start talking to labels, and you start playing that game and touring around. We used to love to play music festivals and outdoor shows and summer concerts and that kind of stuff that, you know, hopefully soon we'll be back to doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So another thing that you do, or maybe you were doing this post band, was starting to be like a studio musician. So could you tell the audience, like, what's involved with being a studio musician? I think that gets thrown around a lot. And yeah, it'd be neat for you to explain a little more as to what you would do in that profession.
Oh yeah, for sure. So obviously, as you grow in music and you kind of find a passion for it, and you practice and you play a lot, and you start to learn. If you do records, you start to learn how to play in time, and play in a proper rhythm. So studio musician, or sometimes called a session musician, is a player. So let's say I'm a singer, but I don't know how to play a guitar. So I go, all right, I've got like $10 in my pocket. And who will play this? Who can I get to record guitar for me for $10? And I sheepishly raise my hand and say, sure. Can we make it 15 or no? Okay. So a studio musician is someone who, you know, you'll call on to come in and say, I wrote this song. I don't know how to play guitar. You play these lines, you play the guitar parts, and then maybe you put in some other stuff. So I'll say, fine. I come in and I record, and, ideally, I do a fantastic job, you know, and then that's sort of the life of a studio musician. You know, you're learning other people's songs, you're bringing your own texture, your own flair to it. You're brought into the studio, or nowadays we're recording from our own personal studios.
Yeah.
And I kind of, you know, have meandered down roads of playing multiple instruments. So I play a lot of different things, and I get the opportunity to play a lot of these instruments on different records, and then as well live with other artists, which is really great. And then, you know, being a studio musician, so having learned over the years, watching how records get made and people record and, you know, all the cool things that go on in a studio, which is, if you're not a musician, being in the studio is fun for about 38 seconds. And then you realize how boring it really is. And you're watching the back of some person pressing buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I started, you know, realizing that I could record myself and record the songs that I was writing and play the instruments that I play for other people and play them myself and could pump out more material and be more creative and be more me.
Great, yeah. That's awesome. So writing is a big part of your career. And so I think I saw you've written over 100 songs. How are most of the songs being used in the world today? Like, what are you doing with them?
Well, everyone is clearly a Billboard chart-topping hit. I'm writing a lot, and that's the process of writing. You know, there's tons of unfinished material, right. But yeah, I've written a lot because I've worked my way around with the technology of learning how to record and produce. From a home studio and get it to sound like, it's coming out of whatever facility. So as a result, I write a lot of songs. I have been in music in a time when sort of we talked about how you used to get in a smelly van and go on the road to get known to now where you write something on your computer and you post it, you know, an hour later and you hope you get a million streams. In between that time period, you know, one was one way artists get discovered. We are in a new era of a way artists get discovered. But in the middle of that, there became a time when artists got discovered through what's called licensing their songs in television shows or TV ads or movies. It started to become more of a reality for musicians that they could get their songs on a TV show or a movie. And that is how they would get known. They wouldn't have to jump in a smelly van, you know, or even a good smelling van for that matter. They would get on a good or a bad show, but they could all of a sudden reach audiences and people and music consumers all over the world. And so that coincided obviously with the ability to record, you know, faster and more homegrown recordings. And I started to kind of dip my toes in that. And, you know, as a result, I started, you know, living in LA, I started to get my songs used on TV shows and in advertisements and things like that. And I had a few other people sort of representing me to get different stuff around the world. And so the majority of my songs have been written for that purpose, you know, which means I've been kind of trying to pay attention to what's trending stylistically. You know, are ukuleles popular this year? You know, oh no, it's the Glockenspiel now, you know? All right, so I got to do a song with that. Oh no, guitars, nobody wants a guitar anymore. So how can I learn how to play 80s, you know, synthwave? which I guess theoretically is how I ended up with sort of Tricked Out Tricycle. All these various styles of music that I love and that I ended up playing for different purposes in, you know, film and TV and web and the yada, all that stuff. All of a sudden I'm thinking, well, this is the kind of music that everyone's being exposed to at all times, all kinds of different stuff. So why can't that be applied to kids' music? If I'm going to have the Andrew Jed stuff be, if I'm going to hone out, you know, what is the Andrew Jed sound? Because podcast listeners, I have Andrew Jed music, which is not necessarily kids' music, although, you know, there's nothing a kid can't hear in my songs. But you know, there's actually a lot of freedom in having kids' music where you can go, I want to write a completely bonkers song in a totally different genre from the next song that you're about to hear. But I want to write it really well because I really want excellence from my own playing and producing. I want to write it well so that parents can feel like, oh, this sounds great. This sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a genre I listen to as opposed to something played on like a Casio keyboard, you know, with fake trumpet sounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that we really want to talk to you about is definitely this, the award nominated music for kids called Tricked Out Tricycle. The songs are awesome.
And, thanks, man.
They do sound just really good. They just have a really good, I don't even know how to describe it. It has a very authentic sound to me. You know, it's not this like, you know, something that you would hear all the time, which I think is great.
Thanks, Bill.
Very high quality, outside the box kind of a sound.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We are.
That's right. I think you guys should just, you know, every day you should call me and keep telling me these positive things.
You're hired.
So we are interested, though. How did you get the name Tricked Out Tricycle as the name of the group?
Of the group.
Yeah.
Well, I took a poll amongst the band members, which is me. Right. I don't know. I like words that kind of sound cool together, right? So to me, the idea, you know, because every musician's always trying to come up with a name, and it's brutal. No musician ever feels like, oh, this is the perfect name.
Right.
But Tricked Out Tricycle just sounds fun, and it just flows well. Tricked Out Tricycle. I do a lot of kind of wordplay in my songs, a lot of kind of... you know, dare I get too grammatical, consonants, you know, syllables, you know, Tricked Out Tricycle feels like it flows off the tongue pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, and then I guess without even realizing it, it also sort of implies, you know, the kind of music and the kind of stuff I'm trying to do, which is not, you know, it's not tricycle music, you know, it's not like preschool-y stuff. It's tricked out. It's like, oh, now we've got spinners on the hubcaps of the tricycle, and, you know, we've got like, you know, glass packs on the back, you know, for some thumping bass on our tricycle. Whereas this isn't preschool music, you know.
Right.
So somehow that sort of represents it.
That's
and
cool.
I said, whatever. We got to commit to something because I got to release these songs.
Yeah.
And the songs, they're very well produced. They're really catchy. They're a real catchy vibe to them that, I mean, even parents can, I mean, I enjoy them. Yeah, I know parents can enjoy while listening, you know, at home or in the car. And first song we want to ask you about is A for Anti-Disestablishmentarianism. Got it. Yes.
Yes.
Super fun, super funny as well. So just give us a little bit of insight into how that came to be.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was writing a protest. No, it was not a protest song. I don't know. Like I said, I like to mess around with words a lot. And... really, honestly, so I just released a new record, but I had done a 4-song EP before that where A is for Anti-Disestablishmentarianism was on. And basically, I was like, I had 3 songs in the can, 3 songs written. And I was like, I want to release a 4th. I want to put 4 on this. What can I do? And I was like, I was actually messing around with GarageBand, which is, you know, a little... plug for a company that does not endorse me. But parents and kids, you guys have incredible tools at your disposal for creating music on your own, on your kitchen table. It's amazing. And so I kind of wanted to test that. I like to use garage. I use, you know, plenty high-end recording stuff, but sometimes I want to test it and use GarageBand, you know, which is a free app. So I kind of found this kind of funky little piano thing that I thought sounded pretty cool, and I just was like, I'm gonna do an alphabet song because why not? And but let's just have every letter be something different than what you would expect. So it kind of, the song plays on that. A is for apple. All right, I get it. You know, any preschool would say that. B is for bat. You know, C is for cat. All right, so we got a rhyme there. That's cute. D is for Democrat. That's a rhyme, but also a random word for a D. It's not a, some people I think are like, oh, this is a political song. It's not political. It's just a funny rhyme. Bat, cat, right. Democrat, you know?
Right, right.
So I just kind of started going down that road and looking for super random words that also kind of had a unique rhyme scheme with each other. And as the song progressed, I kind of shift through different musical genres and styles from like, super simple, like plunky piano to like all of a sudden, you know, there's like, you know, trance sound in there, or some kind of like deep groove or something weird. And then it is, you know, it's all quirky and weird, just for the sake of being fun and giving kids, some new words, basically giving kids some new words to think about and for their parents to be like, for kid to be like, what's anti-disestablishmentarianism mean? And for parents to quickly Google, what is that? What does that mean? And how do you say it? And so the reason it's called that, though, is, as I understand it, anti-disestablishmentarianism used to be the longest word in the English dictionary. But it's not anymore. It has been usurped by pneumono-ultramicroscopic silico-volcanoconiosis, which is also in the song.
In the song.
And it begins with the letter P. So P is for pneumono-ultramicroscopic silico-volcanoconiosis. And you better believe kids have the greatest time trying to pronounce that word.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they're always like one up in each other. Oh, do you know how to say this? And parents are like, pneumonumi, what? And the kids love big crazy words, and you know, that's a big crazy word that actually means something.
Yeah.
A is for apple, B is for bat, C is for cat, D is for Democrat, E is for English, F is for froggy, G is for guppy, H is for hydrometeorology, I is for icy, J is for juice, K is for kangaroo, L is for the juices loose, M is for monkey, N is for nose, O is for OMG, B is for pneumono-ultramicroscopic silico-volcanoconiosis.
Yeah.
Q is for quiet time, R is for red, S is for silliness, T is for the song is in my head, the song is in my head, T is for trying to get the song out of your head. U is for Uber, B is for Velociraptor, W is for with whomsoever, X is for Zyvosaran, Y is for
yeah, 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 Y is for yeah, 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 yeah.
Now we put the alphabet into your head, so Z is for Canadians who pretty much only say Z. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
So there's a new album you've released called Intro Bang, which is a short song about Abe Lincoln, which is great because it helps kids learn some facts. And we always like when songs are fun, but teach a little something as well. So are there other tunes like this one on the new on your this album or other albums?
Yeah, well, absolutely. This album sort of Intro Bang came out of that whole idea of like teaching, but you know, because we were all kind of stuck homeschooling our kids for a significant period of time, it kind of actually came from that A is for anti-disestablishmentarianism thing. You know, let's teach some kids and parents for that matter some new cool words. Give a chance for the kids to interact with their parents and ask questions like, "Oh, did you know that this is a thing?" And why am I listening to this song, which sounds like a Red Hot Chili Peppers tune at the same time? And the parents can be like, oh, well, let me tell you about the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
You know, so there's a back and forth. The idea is actually to create a cool conversation there. So I kind of developed this idea that I wanted to, like, you know, find super random facts, like super random facts, and write like 30-second songs about them. Because why not? You know, like I said before, like, why not do that? And it's actually really hard to write a 30-second song. So some of them, you know, approach a minute. But there's a bunch on there. There's the Abraham Lincoln one where we learn that he was actually a wrestler and is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Right.
There is a national animal for Scotland. And I'm going to force you to listen to the song, listen to the record in Intro Bang to find out what that animal is.
Yeah.
It's a fact. If there's facts in there about berries, not every berry that you think is a berry is actually a berry. And even in Intro Bang, the title of the record is actually, it's a new officially sanctioned grammatic symbol, like a period or an exclamation point or a semicolon or whatever. It's the question mark and the exclamation mark together. You know?
Yeah.
Like the, wait, you did what? Or I can't believe it. Are you crazy? And that ending with the exclamation mark, question mark, is now officially okay to use. So kids, you can put that in your paper and your teacher has to give you, I don't know. Do they give A's anymore? What do they give now?
Yes.
They have to give you a smiling alligator symbol.
There you go.
Are you ready for the man?
Abraham Lincoln, 16th president. It's evident the relevancy of this presidency. 1863, Emancipation Proclamation. But do you know about his ringside domination? Fourscore and 20 years ago, Abraham Lincoln was a wrestling pro. He said, everybody has a right to be free, but in the ring you belong to me.
Come on!
In the Wrestling Hall of Fame, you can find Mr. Lincoln's name.
Yeah, yeah!
In the Wrestling Hall of Fame, you can find Mr. Lincoln's name.
Yeah, yeah!
So you have a YouTube channel as well, and the videos on YouTube are really well done. They have a unique look that's fun for kids, and it really does fit the music well.
Thanks,
so are more videos on YouTube something you're going to continue to do as you release new music?
Oh, for sure. You know, I think we can all agree that you look at how much time kids spend in front of the YouTube machine, and you know, it'd be stupid for me to not do that.
Yeah.
Especially if my songs are actually of some sort of quality content. And that's been a big thing for me. Like, and other filmmaker people I know or musicians I know, it's like, look, I don't really care, you know, what you watch as long as it's actually well done. You know,
yeah.
like do our trade a favor and watch the good stuff. Watch the stuff that's produced well. Listen to the stuff that's produced well. So I bring that intentionality. I actually do all those videos myself using various programs and messing around with them with, you know, different sort of animation stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks. And so, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great way because that's, you know, actually as far as, you know, the number one, we're talking about streaming audio earlier, and that's a big thing. And a lot of musicians will fight against, you know, streaming is bad, you know, why won't people buy 8 tracks anymore? And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I do prefer to listen on vinyl because I want to retain this idea that I'm really cool. But streaming is a fantastic way for everybody to experience all kinds of different styles of music at all at a bunch of different times. Thus, you know, how random sonically and imaginative my songs end up being. But YouTube is, I think right now, maybe the number one platform of how people listen to music is through YouTube.
Wow.
So, you know, that content needs to be there for kids, you know, to watch. They love the songs. Parents dig the songs. They're funny. They're quirky.
Yeah.
They need to have visual components as well and to be engaging. Because that's how people are receiving music these days, and that's great. You know,
yeah,
I'm all for that.
Yep.
It just takes a lot of work on our end as artists to make that happen. But
yeah,
but it's totally worth it.
Good. Yeah,
and we have a lot of teachers who listen to our podcast. So, do you have any songs that you think would work well in elementary classroom, either a music classroom or a general education classroom?
All of them.
All of the above, man.
Well, I think so too.
Yeah,
definitely.
For sure.
Like they really all could be used in the classroom. So both Bruce and I, we teach music, elementary music.
Oh, awesome.
So, we definitely feel like they would fit well. So,
Thanks. Well, not to downplay. I mean, obviously of course I think all of them. But no, on the Interrobang record, I have a bunch of these super short songs about a fact, about a thing. And you could play that or play the video and it would take up all of, 45 seconds of class time, but, you know, get your kids excited about like, this is a random fact. Kids love random facts. And then they love being able to like one up their parents and be like, oh, did you know that a killer whale isn't actually a whale? You know? And of course we're like, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Please clean up your dishes. And then the other thing, you know, you guys are music teachers, and thank you for that. That's really, really awesome. In the process of songwriting, you know, or teaching your students about songwriting, I do think that some of my other songs, which aren't necessarily the quirky fact about or whatever, like I have a really cool pirate song, and I have a really cool song about Daegu on the beach. Daegu on the beach is by the bayou. It's making kombucha for hippie alligators doing yoga. You know, like super, super goofy. But I kind of had the band Cake in mind when I wrote it.
Yeah.
So the vibra slap is in there.
Yes, of course.
But, you know, so like to use those elements of those songs to say this is taken from the band Cake. Well, not taken, you know, but this is inspired by the Cake. And this song is inspired by, you know, like hip hop. And then all of a sudden there's like a symphony sound going on. And then this song over here is like a spaghetti Western, you know? So you're infusing and exploring and sharing different musical styles, as well as the wordiness of them all, you know, how to think about rhyme schemes and the use of consonants and the use of syllables and the use of movement and words in your songwriting and crafting your songwriting and making, you know, your songwriting better. And so a lot of the songs, you know, I use a lot of words, and I like to dig into sort of finding different ways to say things and quirky rhymes. And, you know, I think for all of us, having those words bouncing around our heads and learning more words, and not just for the kids, but for the grownups to have a broader vocabulary, it makes us all actually better songwriters and poets and, you know, creatives in general. You know, the more words are bouncing around our heads, and the more rhymes, the more, it, you know, kind of it generates cooler and cooler material.
Yeah, and I thought about when you were mentioning that the YouTube channel, I know in my classroom, having the lyrics, like a lyric video, is really a great tool, because you can pause it. They see the word right there, you know, and you can really dig in. They have Chromebooks. You can do research, you know, kind of, you know, in real time. But I thought about the literacy end of it as well, so that they're, you know, like one of the words I use with my kindergarten is anthropomorphism, and it's huge, as you said before, this huge word, but we pick it apart in their kindergarten, but they get it, you know, they understand it. But I think that, exactly. I think that would be a really great tool to kind of cross the bridge, to bridge the gap between the music and the quirkiness, but yet, you know, head into the literacy end of things with the language arts. But I think that would be a definite possibility with your songs, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome, Bruce, that you're doing that with kindergartners. That's great. On my website, trickedouttricycle.com, I do put the words to all the songs, but I will on your advice, my friend, I will put up lyric videos because it is important. I do throw a lot of words at you. It's just my style, you know, and it's fun. And you're right. Kindergartners really pick up on really cool, big, crazy words. And then they want to know what they mean. And, and one of the things that I found is that kids also then want to be the teachers. They want to tell other people what they know, you know? And so I'm really stoked to kind of create that environment for kids and parents and teachers alike, so that like there's this, you know, there's more than just one aspect of the song, you know, than like, oh, Mary had multiple lambs and she brought one to school and yay, the song's over. No, it's like, okay, there's this crazy word, here's this random fact. It's also a song that's in this genre and it has this feel, and these are the instruments that are going on in this song versus this other one. And so there's multiple layers of things for everyone. And, you know, again, I mean, I'll just come clean with it. Honestly, my target audience is parents. You know, sorry, kids, if you're listening to this. It's also you guys. But if your parents don't dig the songs, they ain't going to let you listen to them for very long.
That's right. Yeah, well, and I definitely, like, as I'm listening to it and just talking to here today with, you know, that you're like, oh, yeah, I have this influence from Cake, or, you know, the fact that you played with a jam band. Like, I love that type of music. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's what it is. That's why I, as I'm listening to it, it just has such a good sound to it. And it's true that, you know, kids are going to enjoy it, but parents are also going to dig these songs as well. So, so Andrew Jed, thank you so much for being on the show. We are going to include everything that we talked about here in show notes. And so trickedouttricycle.com, right? That's the website that people can go to.
Yes, sir.
And the new album is released now. So I'm assuming you can find all that good stuff on the website.
Any streaming audio platform, you know, right, okay. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. What can I
say? Spotify and yeah, you cool. know,
whatever yeah, you awesome. Prefer.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we'll definitely put the YouTube channel as well. I mean, those because those are really sure. great. Those are
thanks,
nice,
man.
Yeah, for sure. So, Andrew Jed, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you, and we appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your music with the world.
Oh no, you guys are changing lives with your music and your in this podcast. It's so awesome. So it's an honor for me. Really, really rad to be a part of it. Thank you guys.
Thanks, thank Andrew. You.
Make sure to check out www.trickedouttricycle.com and also streaming platforms like Spotify and Apple Music to listen for free.
G is for guppy, H is for hydrometeorology, I is for icy, J is for juice, K is for kangaroo.
Time to wrap it up, folks.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Music Podcast for Kids.
We hope you enjoyed the show and most importantly, learned something cool today about music.
Remember to send in your jokes or even a topic in music you would like us to discuss by visiting our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com. Please visit iTunes to leave a review of the podcast and also share the podcast with friends, relatives, aliens, whoever.
Again, we thank you so much for tuning in.